microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. Today's special guest is Mel Wolf, and she's one of our teachers at Modern Yoga. She's been teaching for us for a while. She was in the inaugural group of teacher trainees back in 2018. I think you graduated in 2018 as well, right? With Becky Therrien.
Yeah, in November 2018.
Yeah, awesome. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
No, this is my first time, so we'll see how it goes.
This will be the best time, too.
Yeah.
Unless you come back as a guest, maybe it'll be even better.
We say that to all the girls.
Yeah. So Mel teaches both in Strongsville and Brecksville. I remember when you were in teacher training, when we got to the portion of training where we covered slow flow, you sort of lit up like a Christmas tree. And that seemed to be your forte for a long time, but you have ventured into power. And rumor has it, you are a butt kicking power yoga teacher too. And I think you're loving it. I think you're secretly loving it.
I am. There's a new challenge with every class style and even each class as the audiences change and the attendees can fluctuate. But with going from teaching exclusively slow flow or, you know, a little hybrid style, depending on my location, to power, I kind of had to get back into that trainee mode and for a while just get back to my sequence, because slow flow asks that you be really creative and have different entrances into the standing poses specifically. So to then go into hot power, getting back to the chaturanga, back to the cadence and that more, you know, on beat breath and faster pace, it challenged me myself. And there's this definitely a little maybe tick of anxiety that I want to make sure I'm making that class challenging and not reverting to a slow flow style. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I kick butt to make sure that doesn't happen. But I will say, even in my slow flow classes, I still turn up the heat, offer that challenge, offer the edge for people to get to. So I think I'm just finding that sweet spot of my style where I can dial it up and down.
And that's the word, is offer. Mm-hmm. You know, you offer and people do what their journey tells them to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you start yoga?
I started yoga. I had to write some notes down. I started yoga in 2015 on my birthday. I took my first yoga class. I had been yoga curious, because if you can put yourself in the Instagram space of 2015, it was almost all yoga on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I had found some yogis who, you know, posting the beautiful pictures and those dynamic poses that, you know, do take years to achieve unless you've had some other background in gymnastics or dance, but just got really curious that way. And I'm grateful for that, because after my first class, I was absolutely hooked, and it was even in a group X environment. So it wasn't even a yoga studio, but that was where I was comfortable, because I grew up in the YMCA environment, volunteering and working there as my first job. So I was comfortable in a gym atmosphere with a group X room. I was familiar with it. So yeah. There was less intimidation. I felt that the people there were more like me, you know, just curious, not super skilled yet, that I wasn't intimidated. Where walking into a studio, especially in Florida, that's where I was living at the time, it was just really intimidating because everybody's so skilled, and I just didn't want to get talked out of it in my head.
When did you realize that it wasn't necessarily about the skills?
That's an interesting question. I would say there was a point where I just like took ownership of it, that this is for me and not for anybody else. I can't put a date or even season to when that happened, but I know that for me, nothing can talk me out of yoga now. Nothing can take that away. Mm-hmm. There's no person that can come in and put his or her feet over her head and do all that stuff where I'm like, I'm not meant to be here. I'm just like, great for you. I'm so happy that you can do that.
I'm so happy to see your anus right now.
Yes. Your clothes are a little tight. Definitely. Because I went on my birthday and it just became such an impactful component of my life and my journey, healing journey, personal growth, all of it. It really is just a gift to myself that I don't really allow anything to get in the way of it. Life happens. And right. Before I was teaching, there were a string of months or so that I couldn't really get to a class. I would practice independently a little bit, but that's what I love about yoga is that you can come back to it. It's accessible everywhere. All you need is yourself to do it truly. Because if you're in the park and you know, you're feeling some type of way, whether that is, you know, tight from a run or a walk, or maybe tight from your day and there's emotional tension, you can do some standing poses, some balancing and breathing in the park. You don't need a mat. You don't need special clothes, which I know we've talked about a number of times. Who cares if somebody's watching you? Maybe you inspire somebody to say, hey, that person, it's January, they're bundled up, and they're in a balancing pose in the park. Maybe that's okay.
I'm always, well, not only tempted, but I've done it when travel in the winter is going badly and I'm standing for a long time in an airport with a bag on my shoulder and my back starts to hurt. I'll just stand there and start to do some shit. It's like, I mean, I'm at the age now where it doesn't matter if people think I'm a crazy old lady, but it helps. It's necessary. It's like,
right. Get your body moving and
find
some stress relief.
Or just that awareness of how am I holding my bag? Right. How am I holding my pelvis? Well, that sounds dirty, but how am I standing? You know, my knees, and so then you might find yourself doing it, you know, straighter posture or pulling up into a dancer to like, get rid of some stretch and tension.
Dancer. That's my go-to from standing a lot. The front of my thighs will just get really tense. And I recently did it at an outing we were at over the weekend. We were standing to watch a show and I was at the back of the audience. So I just grabbed my foot and stood there. I didn't go full out, you know.
Right, right. Like everybody look at me. But yeah.
I am standing there and working on my balance and who cares if you look weird? I mean,
sounds like Joyce at a Trevor Hall concert.
I don't know that I've ever busted out a dancer pose, but I might have to now.
Yeah, I think you should.
You've been the dancer.
It's really freeing.
Tell us why you're in Florida.
Yeah, I graduated college in 2014 with the full throttle desire and dream to work at Walt Disney World. And they have a college program where as long as you're an enrolled student or a student who's graduated within 6 months of applying, you can sign up to be part of their college program and work in the parks, resorts, water parks, all of that good stuff. And they offer a variety of jobs. Most of them are part of, you know, the grand operations of the whole resort. And
yeah.
theme parks. My job was attractions. So that's the rides there. And I worked at, I got assigned to Peter Pan's Flight, and it's a Small World. That's a combination. It's not all
this
that
explains
way.
A lot about you.
It's not a combination. It's not a combination often, but for those two attractions, it works really well because they're so close together. But I did that for 6 months. And while you're there as a CP, a college programmer, it's easier to apply for the professional internships as well. So from that, I applied for a graphic design internship and earned a spot on a team that's no longer in existence because it was a special projects team for their Magic Band rollout. But it was a team that was placed behind Hollywood Studios. So that was super fun because you could just leave your office and, you know, maybe dress yourself down just a touch and go walk into the park and connect with the guests, connect with the atmosphere, what's going on, the energy there. And that was a great opportunity because we piloted an app that now just seems second nature. And if you think back in 2015, this was really kind of, I don't know, really like forward thinking of Disney to test a mobile app that would allow you to get food and merchandise delivered to you wherever you are. So as you know, at those parks, you start to set up for a parade. You're sitting there for 45 minutes because you want to hold your spot. And then somebody in your party is hungry, unhappy, what have you, hot. So the app that we tested, you could order food or order merchandise to your location. So it was a really cool experience because I got to create all the graphics for the test app. Wow. And the vendor that put the app together for Disney. And we tested it for 2 weeks at, Fantasmic, the Fantasmic show. Mm-hmm. So it's a big stadium seating style. And that was a really great test because there are a lot of challenges with that space and being able to locate a guest. There's no numbered seats because it's a first come, first serve kind of show.
Oh my gosh.
So we were testing the accuracy of the app and its ability to locate an individual and successfully deliver their items. So that included food and beverage, it included merchandising. And then obviously on the technology side, the team that I was on, we were heavily involved in. I had some friends who were in operations for the park for Hollywood Studios. And that was fun because I got to be kind of the professional intern running parts of the show. And then my friends were there helping. So it really kind of brought my two worlds together from starting out in the CP to that more professional realm. It was just such a great experience. And I say that was really a highlight of my life. Still, I have lots of life to live and lots of more highlights, but.
Yeah, it's nice when the early ones are what you hope they would be or wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. So this sensibility that took till 2015 for you and Disney to roll out really started with Veruca Salt. Am I right? Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa now.
Yes. Yes, I would say that was the start of it for sure.
Finally, you made it happen.
Yeah.
And the world will never be the same because now none of us want to wait for anything.
Right.
Bring it to me now.
How long were you in Orlando?
I was with Disney from mid-2014 to mid-2017. At the point where I decided to come home, I tell people I just had a big universal hand in my back and it was
really
pushing me. Yeah. So, I won't bore you with all the drama because it's not for this space, but almost everything in my life that I had established in Florida, just crumbled, and it really crumbled within weeks of itself, whether it was roommates I thought I would stay with, and now they're moving to California, and, you know, relationships falling apart, my job at the time not really showing any growth opportunities. And I just said, let's reset, because everything at home was calling me back. And, you know, it'll be my biggest life lesson to not, you know, give up myself for others. But at the time, I thought I could be more useful to my family and friends here. And I just needed a restart. And it was the right decision. And it was the strangest experience to seriously feel like the hand of the universe was in my back, just pushing me towards home.
You just knew you that was the right thing for you.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize. So when we met you in 2018, you weren't even home that long, like probably less than a year.
Less than a year. Yeah.
Wow.
And you had, so you're from the Youngstown area, right?
Yes.
And that's where you moved back to when you came home.
Yeah. That's where I moved back to, just to get my bearings. And, I had connected with my now husband, but it was very early stages of our new connection. So I was home with my family and just, you know, getting my feet back under me.
Were you practicing yoga in Youngstown?
Yes. So it took me a little bit to get back to my mat, because if you can imagine, a lot of that, there were some tumultuous experiences and emotions
and feelings.
Yeah, it was a chaotic time. Little 26-year-old Melanie was very lost. So I would say,
you know, it's funny, people talk about going to your yoga mat for therapy and whatever. But for me, and maybe for a lot of us, that also makes us avoid it, because it's the place, like, there you are quiet face to face with your mat, and you don't want to deal yet, so you push it away.
Yeah, when you're feeling vulnerable, sometimes it can be intimidating. And I've had a couple experiences with that, where I knew I was never going to give up yoga, but I knew that facing it so eye to eye right now also wasn't helpful. Mm-hmm. So I had to take a little break or find other ways to incorporate breath and movement that weren't so succinct with my yoga practice, so that it didn't tarnish it or give me any type of bad feeling. So I still had a YMCA membership in Youngstown. So I was home for a couple months, and I had been going as like a gym member and got the class schedule, got curious about who I could go to. I'm also super picky about teachers, even before I was a teacher. So, you know, that creates okay, how much am I willing to gamble on this person? Does this, and seeing a name on a piece of paper, you know, they don't have it set up the way we do for modern yoga. There's no website. There's no profile. There's no bio. There's not a lot of social media where you can connect with your teachers ahead of time. So I took a risk, and I would consider it a risk for myself at the time.
Sure.
And got on my mat, got real with myself. And the teacher's name was Kathy. She was awesome. She was very mellow. I liked her style, definitely a more slow flow style class. And Joyce, I think that's why it just was so natural to me, because she really was a great impression on me at a time where I needed it. And I made some really great connections taking those classes. And then they had kids yoga, so I felt like I was a cool aunt. And
excuse me.
That's okay. I'm just hoping Otto doesn't start barking back, because then it's a puppy podcast.
It's garbage day. Cool. Relax, bud.
So, I made a connection at this yoga class that really took me on quite a ride, and a good ride. I met a gentleman named Joe, and he was around 80, 81, but we connected like we were always meant to be friends. We just got along. He was a great philosopher and student of yoga, teacher of yoga in his own right. Not an actual yoga teacher, but I just think because he was so well studied that he influenced me even further to go deeper, to say, oh, there is more than just group X at the Y.
I was going to say, so there's where the word yoga means more than asana to you when you see somebody kind of living yoga.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe was just such a fascinating person. So this is the inspiring story I'd love to share with you guys. Joe, when I met him again, he was 80, 81. And I think at the time I started back in September, October, he had been maybe doing yoga almost just as recently as I had been. Mm-hmm. And this came after the loss of his wife, her battle with Parkinson's. And I think he had about a year or two of just down and out grief and realized, you know, my time is short here. I need to change this. And the YMCA offers senior memberships through a program called Silver Sneakers.
Yeah.
So that was Joe's easy road into something that I could relate to of being intimidating. I don't know if that space is right for me. Will I be accepted? You know, will I be weird? All of those things that we just as humans go through daily. And he had started his practice with Kathy just the same. And so seeing him at classes was just, it was something I looked forward to because not only was I getting yoga, but I was going to be able to see Joe for a little bit. We would chat before class and walk out together and chat as well. And that bond just became closer and closer. So Joe.
And so this was the same class. It's not like there was a senior, just Silver Sneaker chair class or something. He was in the same class you were.
He was in the same class and very new to yoga. So I need to describe what Joe was going through at the time in order to get us to the resolution of this story that is just something that everybody can come back to. Mm-hmm. So Joe obviously was older. He did have that normal like spinal shrinking that happens, but he also suffered a car accident at about 75, 76 years old that compressed four of like his mid back vertebrae. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do surgery. They wanted to do all that, you know, rush, invasive stuff. And I don't think Joe came to yoga for his back injury, but he knew that it was probably the safest movement for him and that he would get that almost one-on-one care.
And at the time of the accident, if I know Joe and I don't, I bet he was like, I can't take care of myself. I'm taking care of my wife.
Yes.
I'm not going to go with back surgery while my wife is struggling with Parkinson's.
Precisely. He dedicated every minute of every day to her. So getting to know him, he was just such a beam of light on his own. You would have never known that he had been through that and that he had lost his wife. And he shared those things so freely and willingly without, you know, that reservation or not remorse, but he knew that telling her story was still like keeping her close. So he talked about her often. And just the things he described, like you're saying, I had no idea. So little sidebar, he taught me so much about the struggle of Parkinson's and what that disease does to people. I had no clue that it created hallucinations, and that there was a mental component to it as well. I thought it was a physical disease. So,
actually quick sidebar.
Yeah.
My dad, who died of Lewy body dementia, which is what Robin Williams and so many others are diagnosed with, are often misdiagnosed first with Parkinson's because they have some stiffness and some Parkinson's leading symptoms. And then at least at the time my dad was being treated, the kicker is that some of the medications that they give for early Parkinson's can really inflame the dementia. So the two of those go hand in hand anyway. Parkinson's has some dementia components and some dementias have some Parkinson's components. And so it's such a nightmare to try and diagnose and treat properly without making things worse.
And and everybody is their own individual. So they bring with them a lifetime of other experiences and other healing journeys that may have been more, made them more susceptible to one or the other.
Exactly. And
it's hard to dial in on. So Joe and I got closer and closer and would start to go to dinners together. And it was funny because on our first outing, we were going to BJ's Brew House. Cause I love that place. You can, their menu's huge. There's something for everybody. So, that's what I picked. Cause I didn't know what he liked to eat. And he was asking me to recommend a restaurant, you know, cause I'm young and hip, as he would have put it. So, I wanted to show my gratitude to him, and I had painted a cement parrot. Long story short, I painted the cement parrot. And I had no clue at the time, but Joe had actually had a parrot similar to the one I painted, and he owned an exotic pet shop. So
what? And you didn't know this?
No, I didn't know this. So I show up to BJ's Brew House, and
with
I have
the painted
this bag.
Parrot.
I have this very heavy gift bag because it's a solid cement parrot. And I had this thought in my mind as I'm approaching our meeting. I'm like, man, he just really feels like a grandpa to me. I wish like he would let me like take him on as my grandpa and do those things. And I had not mentioned it, but I gave him the parrot, and that's when he shared with me his background with this, his pet parrot, and then his shop with his wife that they had. And he asked if he could adopt me as his granddaughter on the same day where I thought, where I thought maybe he could be my adopted grandpa. So
did he start crying and say yes?
Oh God, I was so touched. It was like overwhelming, and
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, I know that the world is full of synchronicities, and I'm like a magnet for them. So I wasn't surprised that it happened. I was just like, that's really cool that that just happened, because it made it that much easier. It took the it took the knot out of my throat in asking him, because he just went right for it. And we
it probably brought a level of comfort to your relationship that was pretty new with him. And let's face it, it was probably a little bit awkward, because here you are, this, you know, young woman hanging out with an 80-year-old man that you met at the Y.
Yeah. No, it was so unexpected. And, you know,
did he have grandchildren?
He has a granddaughter, and they all, the majority of his family is out of state.
Not local. So
all of the children and grandchildren, lived in either Texas, and then I think either Missouri or somewhere out.
And even if they had been local, I know from my relationship with my own grandparents and my mom's relationship with her grandkids, you take for granted what's right there. You don't have that same, like, deliberately cultivated relationship that you found with Joe, because it's your person that you were born into, this being your grandparent.
Yeah.
How lovely.
And I didn't have a grandfather influence at all.
Wow.
So my mom's adopted father, cause she is actually adopted, he passed away when my brother was 11, and I wasn't even born until my brother was 15. So, I never met him. And then my paternal grandfather was a POS. So he's just not even a thing that we talk about. Mm-hmm. So I had never had that type of influence, and it was at such a time where I needed stability. I needed guidance and wisdom and, somebody to lean on. That here's this person who's full of wisdoms and stories and insights, and it's in this yoga atmosphere where I'm comfortable. So we continued to see each other for meals periodically and for classes. And I go into yoga one day, And the teacher, Kathy, is like, did you talk to Joe? Did you hear what happened? And I'm like, I guess not. What happened? She's like, his back, it's fixed. I'm like, what are you talking about? So Joe shows up for class, and he was already such a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. His smile was just ear to ear. And you would have thought he had like tap shoes on. He just had this extra pep in his step. He was more upright and stable in his upper back. And what had happened was the simplest thing. What he described was that he was sitting at home in the evening and he felt some discomfort in his back. So he dropped down onto his mat, got into, you know, happy baby, knees to chest, and was just rolling around and doing those things. And he heard, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And his back realigned on his floor, on his yoga mat, no surgery, no invasive procedures, all of that at 81 years old.
Wow.
Right. Amazing. After, he could get up and down off the mat over 80, but then he became his own yoga doctor, guru, and chiropractor.
Yeah.
I wonder if that scared the crap out of him in the moment that it happened. Like he heard that where he was like, what just happened here? And then he got up and was like, oh my God.
So I don't recall him mentioning if there was like any type of discomfort involved when that happened. Yeah. So I just remember him being overly elated and joyous.
I picture him hopping up and clicking his heels together like that original Gene Wilder Willy Wonka, where he comes out with a cane and then all of a sudden he dives forward into a somersault and jumps up and he's young and dancing.
MB, did you just watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
I did not. This is just
she's
in
just
my
full
brain
of all of this information. It comes out at appropriate and inappropriate times.
At the time that this solution in his spine occurred, Joe had only been doing yoga for 10 months as a brand new yogi, never done it before in his life.
Wow.
And he was just dedicated. Now, he had the time, right? He was going, I think, at least 4 if not 5 times a week, depending on what was available in the class schedule. And then he was doing his own stuff at home. He had a really strict regimen in the morning of certain stretches and movements he would do, some yoga related, some not, smoothies every morning. He was just really dedicated to taking care of himself. And it was inspiring. So
that is inspiring because it's so much easier to be like, I'm 80.
Yeah, it really is. And to get told the only way this is going to resolve itself is if we do a major spinal surgery, and to say, no, I know that's not right for my body. And I know that my body is capable of healing itself, which is my biggest takeaway for anybody. Like, we've all had those conversations with students who come up and, you know, they want to say they can't do something, or they start right away on the healing spaces in their body that they're working with. And I love to give them the cliff notes of the story we just shared, because if that can happen for him and he can avoid that major surgery, you know, I know that we can get your tight hips where you want them to be.
Right.
I know
it's worth trying.
Yeah. I know that your shoulder is going to settle back into a healthy zone if we just do it the right way and breathe through it and modify when needed. And those things are treated mindfully, which I think is a bigger key. It's that mind over matter and the language that you speak to yourself. So if you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm always in pain. This is never getting better. It's been months, you know, change the language to I'm healing. I'm early in this injury, so I'm going to take this day by day, wake up and focus on the things that feel good, not the things that feel bad, and honor your body. And then that visualization factor of seeing yourself healed, seeing whether it's on a cellular level, a muscular level, seeing those things in your mind be repaired can be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Joe influenced you to become a yoga teacher?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't my number one reason. My number one reason was seeing my nephew struggle with his emotions at such a young age and struggling at school and being bullied and all of that, that I knew that the world needs yoga. Sense, and children specifically. I'm still striving for that goal of working with children, but I don't force anything. I'm just going to let that kind of blossom.
Yeah, just like you said, putting it out there in the world about how we can regulate things within ourselves, which would change a lot about the world. I'm sitting here imagining the other end of this conversation and Joe telling somebody about this serendipitous, whimsical Mel that changed his life as an octogenarian. I mean, and that gives me goosebumps too. Like, imagine.
Is Joe still around?
He passed away in 2020, three days before my wedding. He was supposed to come. Yeah. I had made a garter, the flowers? Yes. I had made one.
A boutonniere.
Boutonniere. There we go.
Garter's another story. Let's go down that road later, Mel.
Not a garter.
Made a garter for Joe.
A boutonniere. I made Joe a boutonniere. And when he wasn't able to be there, I put his boutonniere into my flowers so that I could carry that with me.
That had to be a little bit of a heartbreak. Was this unexpected?
It was unexpected, and it kind of happened within like 2 weeks. And he was shy about it and hadn't told us anything. And what ended up happening was I was in Cleveland. So I told my mom, I was like, Joe hasn't been coming to yoga. Cause, for the listeners, I was doing virtual yoga and Joe was a regular attendee as very dedicated. I was like, Joe hasn't been on yoga and I haven't really heard from him. She's like, let me call him. Cause she had joined, some of our lunches that we had and, just wanted to make sure Joe felt, you know, like he had
family.
And she calls me back and she's like, Joe's in the hospital. I'm like, oh, well, he didn't message me. He didn't say anything. So, it ended up coming out to his family too. Like, we had gotten on a yoga call and I sometimes feel weird about how this all happened, but we got on yoga and they were asking about him because eventually his family from Texas joined in, which was a really cool way for me to bring them together and allow them to do something together.
Yeah.
And I asked them if they've heard from him and they said no. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know that this is the right way. And I'm sorry that this is coming from me, but we've found out that he's in the hospital. So we closed the call. And after that, you know, it was a little bit of communication with his daughter and then a few texts with him back and forth. I missed his last phone call. I'm so sad about that. But I text him when I called him right back and he didn't answer. And I text him. So I know that at least my last words to him were really sweet. Sorry. Yeah. I was going to try really hard not to cry.
Oh no, we love to cry.
I'm going to cry. Yeah, we're all crying.
So, he passed away 3 days before and that was really hard because, planning a wedding in 2020 was already hard enough. I was so looking forward to him because being there because, I never imagined I would have a grandpa at my wedding. And I just was really missing him that day. And it was bittersweet. Two things, Joyce. I do want to go back to you asking if Joe was an influence on being a teacher. And
keep talking. I have to grab Kleenex.
Yeah. I'm going to grab a drink as well.
You have to carry the podcast all by yourself, Mary Beth. You can't let those pauses just.
It was a moment for pause, for cry. It was a moment for pause for Joe.
Yeah. So, as far as becoming a teacher, he was so excited when I told him I was in teacher training. And Joyce, if you remember, I was still in two worlds. I was still kind of working in Youngstown, yes, but trying to migrate to Cleveland. So
she was driving all over the place. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it was hard to then get into such a routine and have that little community of yoga in Youngstown and then, branching out and coming here. But when I called you and I could tell that you were at home doing dishes, and I'm like, this woman really cares. Like she's calling me on her off time. She's taking this time to make sure that I feel comfortable, because it was an investment that I hadn't made in myself ever.
No, that's the doing dishes soundtrack that she just puts on her phone when she calls people about teacher training.
So he was so proud of me for doing teacher training, asking all about it. And as a teacher, he was just blown away, because he would come to some of my virtual classes, but also I had done some outdoor classes in Youngstown that he would attend. And just all of the accolades, all of the praises. He said, there's no other teacher like you. And he tried to get into a studio, because I encouraged him. I was like, why don't you see if a studio is right for you? Like there could be something there. And he's like, they're great teachers, Mel, but they're not like you. And we even attended a class together, probably one of our last YMCA classes together. This girl was like, I went to India. I know all of this. I know all of that. And there's no value in going to India if that's all the value you're putting into it, is that you went across the world to learn to teach.
Yeah. Authenticity is everything.
Yeah. And, again, I'm super picky about teachers, and this was even before I became a teacher, but we walked out of the class and we kind of looked at each other, and Joe is the sweetest person. He would never say anything negative or hurtful about someone else, but he just knew that that was not correct, the correct way. There was a lot of ego that teacher was exuding. She was doing all the big flourishing movements, and you're looking at a class at the YMCA in Youngstown. You know, these people need you to meet them.
And how unfortunate, because often if that's somebody's entree into yoga, and for the reasons that you talked about going to the Y, you know, you want that less intimidating, a little more under the radar, comfortable experience, and she was not giving that.
Yeah. So he was super supportive. And when the lockdowns occurred, I immediately jumped onto Zoom and started to create a space for people to do yoga, because if I knew the mental health crisis was bad before this, and we couldn't have known what was coming in March and April of 2020, but I just had the foresight to say, hey, let's do yoga together. Join me. As you all know, the classes in person had to halt, and until we even got permission to be in person again. Doing those virtual classes, I will cherish that for the rest of my life, because he and I, not many people joined. Every once in a while, my friends would join. Every once in a while, some auxiliary friends of Joe's and everybody would join. But I would say 90% of the time, it was just he and I, basically on a private lesson regimen. And we got so close, we could talk about what was going on, and he could share the insights of like the Spanish flu and what that was like. So yes, that I, my anxieties were a little more tamed. He's like, he was just such a comfort at that time. And I hope I was a comfort to him as well.
Cause I was just going to say, as much as you've said, you're at the start of this, that you're young and you have a lot of life to live ahead. He had such an impact on you. But how it I hope feels to you to know that at the very end of someone's life, how much you must have added to his days. Oh my gosh. I mean,
yeah.
Was he
so many people waste away lonely and unloved. And I mean, you gave him like fullness of life right up to the end.
Was he alone? Did he live alone?
He lived alone. So to think that his months were numbered. And if we hadn't had, if I hadn't taught him how to use Zoom,
right.
Oh my gosh, getting his Zoom set up. We were on the phone for 2 hours trying to make sure the mics and cameras were, the settings were working. And he had a Samsung device. So I'm Googling how to fix a Samsung.
Yeah.
I could see him on the camera, but we had to talk on the phone because we couldn't see each other.
Like what in just an investment in time in another human being.
So I mean, wonderful. He was primarily by himself then in 2020.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
So what did he ultimately die of?
You know, I really hadn't heard the final say. When it started to deteriorate, like our meeting every day, he had been complaining about pain in his like back, but it wasn't his back. It was, I think, more internal. So I don't know if he was suffering from something he didn't share with me, or if, you know,
I know my friend with the pancreatic cancer that progressed pretty quickly. That was back pain that would wake her up at night.
Yeah. I really don't know, if it was just, his time and his age, or if there was a deeper ailment going on.
It reminds me of last month, or I guess the month before, the Modern Yoga Book Club read a book called The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot. Mm-hmm. And it was about the friendship between a 17-year-old and like a, I don't know, 80 plus or even more something year old woman. And they were both in the hospital dying. And I'm not to the end of it yet because I missed that book club meeting, but the book is so good. I still wanted to finish it.
Yeah.
But it's such a kind of unexpected and unusual and wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for you and for Joe. And the other thing is, a lot of times with good stories like this, happy endings or whatever. Okay, that came out wrong. Stories with happy endings, feel good stories.
Feel good.
I mean, there's still your challenges. I mean, we didn't want to hear that the guy didn't make it to your wedding.
Yeah.
You know, like there's still, life is still going to throw the bullshit at you, and it has to just be part of the whole deal and part of the whole relationship. And taking care of other human beings is what helps with that. And yoga too, which is a way of taking care of ourselves and other human beings, helps with that. I mean, we would have loved you to be able to say he just helped walk you down the aisle and everything was wonderful. And then he just died peacefully in his sleep one night, but that ain't how it happened.
No. And, you know, I always have to reframe things so that I can breathe a little easier. Mm-hmm. And something that occurred to me was that maybe he wanted to come to our wedding with his wife. So he wanted to be with her. They could.
It's a good thing I have the box of Kleenex together.
Yes.
So I have one more wild experience, that will really show how special Joe was. And, there's going to be some people who think I'm crazy.
Well, they're not here.
And so, crazy is good, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after we got married, I maybe had like a month of yoga left in me. Every time I got on my mat, I was horribly sad. And then there were other conflicts that were occurring in the spaces that I was teaching. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm done with this. I need a break. And I really did take about a year and a half off of any yoga because even getting in child's pose was just sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
So MB, you actually reached out about a teaching opportunity, and it had been about a year and a half, and I said, my higher self said, you're doing this. My then self was like, I don't know, but I knew I needed to do it. I knew I needed to get back.
And it's so funny, because I do remember that text conversation we had, and I do remember thinking, you're just the person for this, so I hope you can do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know your location actually was helpful at the time too. You were closer to that.
Yeah. And Joyce, you'd announced the second location opening, and I'm like, okay, this is good. I won't be taking somebody else's spot per se. There's availability, and not that I need paths to be easy, but doors being unlocked is helpful.
Right. Almost that hand again, pushing you in a direction.
Yes. So I had been teaching again for about 2 months, and I'm in the room with my yogis. And I would say I had two people off to my right and maybe two or three off to my left. And there was this like 8-foot space in front of me. Not a big deal. It happens all the time. It was 2 days before my birthday, and I started class, and I do this to start often, where like arms overhead in a seat, and then you pull your hands down. And I started class that way. And I swear to you, Joe was right in front of me in class. I saw him, and he was about maybe 2/3 of his normal size. And he was levitating, but he was doing yoga. He was levitating, but seated. And he only appeared for about 2 to 3 seconds right at the beginning of class.
Wow.
And if you can imagine, getting through class was very hard, because I can't stop the class and be like, I just saw an apparition of your friend.
Somebody else see Joe.
Yeah. So I came home and I told my husband about it, and I was just like overwhelmed with tears, and the tears were just like excitement, connection, almost elation that he's still close and he's still coming to class.
Mm-hmm.
So it was him.
So happy you had that experience.
It was wild. I've never experienced anything like that. And if I hadn't experienced it, I don't know that I would believe
it. You wouldn't believe it.
But I try so hard to recreate it in my mind. And I'm like, no, I can't do it.
Because it wasn't you.
It was real.
Yeah.
So
I think that people are delivered what they can tolerate. Some people have a dream about a loved one. Some people might see an apparition. Some people, I don't know, you know, people talk about dimes or cardinals. I think whatever each of us might be open to or can tolerate is how much or the way that it can be.
Yeah.
And I know that has to soothe you a little bit to feel like he's good.
Yeah. Spirit finds a way of speaking your language so that you are receptive of the message. And the takeaway for me of seeing Joe in class was, I'm in class. I'm proud of you for getting back to teaching. Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so special.
It is. I'm so happy for you.
Did you know then that you were in
child's pose, making you sad, reminds me another little connection I'd forgotten about. So I have a friend who's a yoga teacher and whose husband passed away early in COVID, right around the same time we're talking about, suddenly at age 45.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine she was unable to meet her mat, not only unable to forget about teaching, just even getting into child's pose. In addition to all the feelings and dealing with them, she happened to be doing yoga at home on her mat while he sat on the couch nearby when he passed.
Oh my
God. So just a real bad, you know, thing to get through. And the next Father's Day, a few months later, I had asked you, she had a daughter, 10 or 11 years old at the time. Yes. And I had asked you, because you're an artist, we should talk about that too. The front of Modern Yoga Strongsville window was painted by Mal, beautiful, as an act of love during COVID for businesses. But we digress. But so I had seen that quote, a father is a standard against which all men should be judged, or something like that.
Yeah, held.
And I thought, what's a gift I can give a little girl just to commemorate her dad, but that's not too personal, like, who am I? And I thought, you know, what about a little jewelry box? So we found one online and you were going to paint it. But then you came back to me with an alteration of that quote. Do you remember that?
Go ahead.
This might not be exact. I might be wrong about this, but, and I just love this about you. You said, I changed the word to something about a standard against which all men should be measured.
Oh.
Instead of judged or something. And I was like, you know, you're right. Yeah. Let's not make it seem like you're an a-hole.
Yeah, you're not my, like dad, my dad. So yeah.
But yeah, just though it instead brought to mind all of the wonderful qualities of a good dad, which her dad was the best dad. So your art, your talent and your job as an artist, but also your, you know, your personality and character comes through so much in your art, which includes not just painting things and drawing things, but your teaching, I'm certain.
That's what we were caught off guard to a degree about in teacher training, is once you got the mechanics of teaching and you really started to bring your personality in, like, your language was so incredibly succinct and creative that it was just like, whoa, you know, and it was very touching and made so much sense. It's so natural for you. Like, I feel like you're not the type of person who's standing there thinking of a creative way to say something. It just kind of comes out that way after it is processed in your brain.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful thing.
Thank you. When I approach my classes, even last night, just the way the day went, I didn't have a plan. And I'm really enjoying being a more veteran teacher now, because I can show up without a plan. I can read the energy of the room and read the room itself, as far as abilities, where people are at, you know, check if someone in the class who's attending is pregnant, and be able to adapt to that in the moment. And I really think that for whatever reason, I have the ability to kind of allow people to hear what they need. And those words occur to me, and I'll be honest with you, there's some things that come out of my mouth sometimes and I'm like, how did that just come out? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like a channel, and we've used that terminology before, that we're a vehicle or a channel for somebody to have an experience. And we've also talked about my pre-teaching yoga prayer that I say, asking that I be of service and I be inspired. And so sometimes things do come through you that you're like, I mean, I've literally never said that before. Where did that come from? And then somebody afterwards is like, wow, that's exactly what, listen to what happened today or something. And you're like, yeah. Well, yep, it's about more than us.
Another thing when I'm approaching classes is we are a collective. We are all in some way experiencing the same ebbs and flows of the energy of life and what we're all going through. So if I need something, I'm sure somebody else in my class needs the same thing. So I'll shed all the details and get down to the core of what that is. So maybe it's balance. I need more balance in my life. I'll use that in class, because I know there's got to be at least one or two other people who are feeling out of balance somewhere.
Because all the things we talk about end up being universal. We nod at each other when we're talking. Oh yeah, that's happening to me too, or something similar. Yeah. Like, for example, I'm just not dying because I love the heat, but I'm schwitzing, you can see here. And Joyce just snuggled a blanket over her person, I can see. So is your air conditioning on really high, Joyce?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know if it's a breeze coming through. I'm just a little chilly right now, but that might change. mm-hmm. I'm taking a picture of you. I have my I can get my anxiety blankets behind me, and then 5 minutes later, I'll be sleeping, sitting right here.
Your weighted
blanket. You want to see that? It's amazing. But anyhow, we digress.
If I'm going to continue to digress, I'm just going to say that I have some salsa that Mel's husband made that I served to friends, and the friend texted me and said, "Can I buy some of that salsa that you served the other night?" And so then I had to text Mel.
Yes, it's so good. He didn't get to smoke the veggies this week yet, but I'll let you know when that happens.
I'll let them know.
Awesome.
I'm sure they're standing by.
So to kind of like, I want to give all of this time, but that we'll have to come back. not that we're done yet, but as far as like timing goes, Mel, so then she finished her teacher training. And at the same time, your relationship with your now husband was sort of like new, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
You were figuring that out.
Salsa man, we'll call him.
We'll call him. I mean, his name is Nick. I don't think that's a secret, but salsa man. And then Mel was teaching for us. And then 2020 hit. And, you know,
it hit
hard. And I think that if I remember correctly, Mel, like you're obviously a lot of things were going on with you. You were engaged at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think you moved, and somehow that was disrupted, and you ended up moving somewhere that you just didn't plan on. Right. Didn't you move in with relatives or something?
Yeah. We moved in with Nick's brother because the housing market was crazy. And it took us 9 months to find a house, even making offers. Almost every time. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah. And then you got married in 2020, which obviously, I mean, you mentioned this, but not the easiest time to get married.
No.
And, you know, and then fast forward, you guys got your house, you settled in, and I was so happy when you messaged me that you would like to, I don't remember if you said I'd like to talk or maybe we just had this conversation through text, but you said, I'm ready to come back to teaching. And you even offered to audition. And it was like, I don't know that. And even at the time I didn't know that you needed to audition. I knew how you taught, but you offered it. And I felt like it was something you were supposed to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it was a step on the path that you needed. And I,
and what a humble approach.
Yeah.
Because many of us would be like, I mean, I've taught there before, you know me, like, are you ready or not?
But it really seemed like a new beginning for her. Like she, it felt like that. And you might have explained that. Maybe you didn't explain all of what you just, the story, you know, all of these details that I now know, but it just seemed like I'm ready to move forward and I need this to be new. And so you came in and auditioned. You spent, actually it was like either right before, I think it was right before teacher training, and you spent some time with the trainees, you bought a new mat. Like it was a whole new beginning. And then, you know, and here we are. So now it's, and that was certainly obviously after we reopened after COVID, and you've been teaching for us for a couple of years now, both in Strongsville and Brecksville. And I think things are, from my perspective, are going really well.
Yeah.
I hope you seem pretty happy as far as teaching yoga goes. And like, it's been, I don't know, I feel like we got to see you grow up isn't the right word, but like you just went through a lot of really big life changes in a relatively short amount of time. And you had, and it's all, yoga was all around it.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome for me to witness and kind of have a backseat in this story, you know?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Auditioning with you, it was important because I wanted to make sure, one, I had taken about a year and a half off, and I wanted to make sure that I was still meeting the standards that you set forth for classes and everything, you know, shake off the rust, make sure I still within the framework, you know, pose before breath, all of that. I really love the Strongsville studio. There's just something homey about it for me because of taking my teacher training there. And I share that with my classes, especially if there's new faces. I'll say, I took my training right here in this very room. I love this space. I love everything about it. There's just that familiarity and comfort that, having been away for so long, I just wanted to, come back to it and let it be the same. I wanted to make sure that I still had that same homey feeling and that I was meeting the standards that you set for your classes.
And it's so refreshing because you, and actually I think this of Natalie too, like there's such a difference between confidence, which you have and she has, but bringing it with those true intentions of mm-hmm. just humility and preparedness, right? Like you wanted it to be up to the standard and whatnot in a time where maybe the pendulum has swung so far that we're always told to be our best advocate and lean in and, you know, don't take any shit from anybody. And that's all true. Yes. But confidence versus arrogance
yeah.
has to involve that humility and professionalism and preparedness and openness to criticism. And I mean, we struggle with that. I struggle with that, but you've used the word veteran already. You are a veteran teacher now. You do have the confidence and the chops, and it's the difference, I think, in making that really special connection with people is that openness and humility that we're all sharing this journey and, you know, we're just opening doors for each other. So good job not screwing that up.
Yeah.
I feel like you realized that you were coming to teach with all of these new and fresh experiences, which were definitely going to come. Like you knew that your life experience comes out in your teaching. And now in a short period of time, you had all these really big things. And it was probably a little intimidating, you know, like, well, I don't know what's going to come out now. I've just been through the ringer.
Yeah, truly. And I did feel like a different person. And I know there's science to say, you know, your cells change over after 7 years, you are physically a completely different person. And then yes, to bring these experiences, I didn't want, the emotional factor, to come out and be a negative impact on anybody. So, I was mindful and tactful and cautious around those things.
For all that happened to you, it wasn't about you. And I think it's those of us who have had dramatic changes on our yoga mat or with holding our yoga mat's hand are the ones that take it most seriously to try and allow that for others. And it's hard as a teacher, whether it's a school teacher or a yoga teacher or any kind of teacher, to not be just the person at the front performing or speaking. And that's really a challenge for a yoga teacher to have to be speaking, but also have to be getting out of the way. That's a struggle for me.
I know that I am really happy that you're part of this team, and I was very touched when you came back, and I remember it was so difficult reopening after COVID and making some changes, and you weren't in the space to come back, and I was really sad about that, and I was a little bit concerned that that maybe we wouldn't see you again. And I was just like, I was really happy when you reached out, and I feel lucky that you're still teaching for us and that you're on this team. And like, you've just been a really important part of our growth. And I look forward to continuing to watch you, evolve. Actually, we're all evolving together. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a really cool experience. And I appreciate that you shared all of that with us. I know that you have tons more to share. As Mary Beth mentioned, you really are an artist, and mm-hmm. anybody who practices in Strongsville can see some of the artwork that Mel has done. I think you did the window with some of your friends. You call yourselves the unruly type, right?
Yes, the unruly type.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So you did those windows in small businesses, like in 2020, like through the pandemic, right?
Yeah. As a graphic designer, just driving around, you know, all we could do was pick up carry out, and restaurants who had to pivot overnight in amazing feats of triumph to keep their business open, were putting up really crappy signage. And I'm like, mm-hmm. we can help. We can still keep the city beautiful. Cause I mean, there were times I think I drove by a Panera and they used a bunch of like letter size paper to like mm-hmm. tile together a sign that said, "We're still open." And I'm like, we could fix this.
We can do better. And what a wonderful idea and an act of love that people needed in a time. I mean, that's what was good about that time is how people did pivot and how other people showed up.
Yeah.
And what I love about Mel is that sometimes she will be wearing like pixie dust or wings and all sparkly.
Yes,
it's true.
In her life.
Sometimes her pants match her yoga mat bag. Oh, I need to mention this because I wrote it down earlier. When Mel was in teacher training, her then new boyfriend gifted her a yoga mat that was magnetic.
And it was like a snapping, rolling.
Oh, I remember.
It rolled up all by itself until it kind of started rolling up a little slower.
It stayed rolled. That was the issue. I couldn't. I took that year and a half off and my yoga mat was like, well,
I'm done
for the rest of my life. Yeah.
I'm retired.
Wow. So we gave her all this like, wow, it was a fresh start. She bought a new yoga mat. She's like, yeah, no, the old one would not open.
Well, there is beauty in buying something new. And I've known this about myself, even just being a regular exerciser is like, if I want to start back at the gym, nothing gives me more confidence than showing up with new workout clothes, new tennis shoes, ready to go. There's that factor of look good, feel good.
The number of new notebooks I've bought is the testament to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've started consolidating my new notebooks. They're in a new notebook drawer.
I have so many semi half filled notebooks that I hope I've put years in all of them because it's a train wreck. I was just looking at them yesterday thinking I should do something with all of this.
When I was in my first part of teacher training, we did a lot of journaling. And I remember my teacher, Stacy Dawkins, having her own journals. And she said she kind of had the same problem, clearly, but she would grab a journal and just look for a few blank pages. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
And that's what I am. And it's not, you know, in order, and it's not even the same time in your life. And it's upsetting, but also weirdly freeing.
Yeah. So my goal is to fill my journals and then
pages
and then burn them, you know, as a cleansing.
Yeah.
Because it's also clutter and
I don't think I can burn them. Somebody's going to have to burn them after they burn me.
Do you want to save them for Kennedy to read?
No, I think I need to look through them again and learn, or maybe type it all out, put it in a blog, and then be burned.
That sounds like
not on purpose. I mean, just the natural course of things.
There is a benefit of revisiting your own words too.
Oh my gosh.
Like
it's hilarious. It's horrifying. And sometimes it's like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah, there's some insightful things and you're like, okay, past self, like you knew what you were doing and no wonder we're here now. We made it.
Love it.
And just seeing it in your handwriting, knowing that it was from you, gives you that authenticity where you know it's not BS, you know, it's not somebody just blowing smoke.
Yeah, and you can almost picture that person you were in whatever bedroom you were in at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, your little girl bedroom is what I mean. Not like whatever bedroom you had at that time. Now I sound like a hooker. The journaling hooker.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
We're going to have to use that one again.
Mel's coming back because we have much more. That went really fast. And I know there's some other. I love that you're drinking out of an Oberon glass. That's one of my favorite beers.
Oh, yeah.
I like to make barbecue sauce with Oberon.
This was an early gift to Nicholas. I didn't know much about other beers because I don't drink beer, and this was something he really liked. So I
got a magnetic mat and he got a glass.
Yeah.
It's like the gift of the magi. Yeah. Not really.
All right, Mel. Well, we will, we have promised every guest that they are coming back.
We're going to do a whole season of that, Joyce. We're going to one by one come back and revisit. That'll be awesome.
We have like 60 podcasts, so we probably have at least 50 guests.
Wow.
Yeah.
We can do it. All right. Maybe we'll get them all on the same Zoom call and see.
Mel, any last words?
You know, I don't like to be so finite because I do like the idea of coming back. I've had a lot of fun sharing with you and, you know, being able to connect with others that might not have heard that story or others before. So I just look forward to being back and sharing and what other growth might occur between now and then.
And it will. Really, and yeah, there's no finite words. It's like my dad would never say goodbye. He would always say so long.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite movies, The Holiday, it was just on again the other night, and where Cameron Diaz is saying goodbye to Jude Law. And she said, "You're going to kiss me one more time. And then I'm going to say, be seeing ya."
Yeah. Yep. Be seeing ya. See ya when I see ya. It's all good. Absolutely.
So please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends all the good things. We will see you.
Be seeing ya. All right. We're done.
Be seeing ya.